spirit leave his realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. And we just want to thank you for tuning in today and being so faithful to what is going out over these podcasts. Hopefully they are relevant for your life, that they help you navigate whatever it is you're going through. We try to speak generally. We use some of my history to explain certain things about God's economy. And, you know, we understand where you're at and we know where you're coming from. So we pray today that you would be moved by the message. We believe it is foundational. It's a foundational concept. It will affect everything in your life. And Mom, you know what we're going to do? We're going to kind of start from scratch and explain what faith is.
Yeah, go for it. I don't want to be put on the spot like you always do to ask me the question. However, I will say that my life verse is Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe who he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Having said that, explain
faith. So what is
faith?
Faith is, we have the biblical definition of faith. We have the practical application of faith. We have the historical accounts of faith, the Bible. So what people don't understand really from Jump Street would be the people of faith back in the day, they didn't have what we have today. You know, considering Moses and what did it take that man to do? What did he hear? How did he hear God speak? How did he operate in faith, leaving everything he knew? And he didn't have the history book that we have, the living, breathing word of God. He didn't have the Holy Spirit within him. So there's like this idea of today that faith is going to the edge of a cliff and jumping off, right? Mm-hmm. So people believe it's like that drastic, that extreme. And, you know, I beg to differ, and I think we can give hopeful application to faith through the Bible, but also that it will be practical in your own life. And your verse, Hebrews 11:6, is pretty interesting. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, comma.
Right.
He is what?
That he is God.
He is whatever you need him to be.
True.
Whoever comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? Well, he's your lawyer in time of need. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's whatever you need him to be. And most of the time, being a perfect gentleman, God will not force his will upon you. In fact, I love some of the quotes I read about him being a gentleman. It says he bows to humanity. He allows us to have our way until we call upon him. That's why James 4:8, draw closer to the Lord and he'll draw closer to you, or draw nigh unto him and he'll draw nigh unto you. So as quickly as you want to get to God, that's as quick as he will respond to you. And you know what? I don't want to give up where I'm going with my thoughts with faith, but simple as this, faith is obedience.
That's interesting.
That's all faith is. Faith is obedience to what? To his written word. He's already written. You know what? If I see somebody in need, I don't have to go pray and fast about that need. No, if you see the need, meet the need. That's faith. Faith is knowing that you are going to be obedient because God says, hey, when you dealt with the least of my brethren, you've dealt with me. You did it to me. Faith is just being obedient to what his will is. How do you know his will? Well, you have to spend time in his word. His word declares his will. You have faith when you are acting in obedience. So I don't have to every day, Mom, do something miraculous for people to say, he's faithful. No, to be full of faith, you are just simply obedient to the calling of God on your life. For moms, for dads, for children, for students, for whoever, it looks different. But you have to start by knowing his word. That's faith. And the more the word gets inside of you, the more faithful you become. So you know what? A cool analogy. You probably heard it. People probably read it. I'll probably tell it wrong, but the idea is the same. And Jesus is walking by, we'll say, three women. And as he walks by the first woman, he embraces her with a giant hug and a kiss on her cheek, and he just spends time giving her this feel of himself. And then he walks by the second woman, and he only simply stretches out his hand and shakes her hand, and he keeps it moving. And on the third woman, he just glances at her and keeps walking. And an observer says, do you see that? He loves each of those women differently based on the observation. And the person explaining what happened, or maybe it might have been Jesus explaining it, saying, no, that's not true. Each individual needed a different feel from me. The first woman, her faith isn't as great as you would think. So I had to give her that touch. I had to spend time with her. She had to feel me because her faith isn't that great. The second woman, she has pretty good faith. All she needed was a handshake from me. The third one, the one you thought that I didn't love, she didn't need to feel nothing. She knew that things were always in my control no matter what I give her or what I do to her or what I say to her. And all I had to do was walk by her. So every person's different, but the woman that only needed Jesus to walk by, yet she still would trust him regardless, she has great faith.
Right.
And the only way her faith can be so great is because she got time knowing, spent time knowing the character of God.
Right. I think that's huge. If you don't understand the character of God, then how could you think that there's something that is loving enough to meet your need at that time, you know, to provide for you? That's huge. But how do you get to know the character of God? Because in this day and age, people will just, it's all, you know, fairy tales and puppies. It's like, oh, God is good. And when we need him, we call upon him. And he's this great big Santa Claus in the sky that we tell him what we want all the time. But we don't even understand who he is because we don't take the time to listen to him and understand that he left us the pure, unadulterated word of God through the Bible. And people that say they have great faith but have never don't open their Bible regularly, I'm not quite sure they get it.
Well, you can't. You can't really have great faith if you don't spend time feeding your faith with God's word.
Yes.
In fact, that's an oxymoron, saying you have great faith and you believe in God when you don't know him.
Right.
And when things do get tough, those are the type of people that flee from God or turn on God. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is Pastor Matt Stokes, this past weekend, the lead pastor of Coastal Christian Ocean City, he spoke about that. He said, you know what? People come into this congregation, and when things are great, they're shaking people's hands. They're walking around mingling. They're giving high fives. Everything's great. But then soon something happens in their life, they don't show back up next week. And you say, wonder what happened? Well, things got bad, and they turn on God. He said, then there's the person that only comes to church when things are bad, and they need prayer, and they just come up to you, and, hey, can you help me out? And you're there for them, of course. That's what you're there for. But then the moment everything gets better, they don't come back. He says,
so true.
He said, where are the people that are just, here it is. Because I'm going to say something that will tell of your spiritual maturity. He said, not reading the Bible, not fellowship groups, not all these things that, yeah, they're considered to be basises of being spiritually mature. But he said, it's your consistency.
That's interesting.
And the story he used, obviously breaking open the resurrection, or not the resurrection, the bringing back of life to Lazarus, he uses his Mary. He says, you know, every account describing Mary, Mary of Bethany, which is Lazarus' sister, she's always at the feet of Jesus. He said, consider it. The time that everything was good, Martha was scurrying in the kitchen, Mary's at the feet of Jesus. That was a good day. There was nothing going on. There was no tragedy. Yet she still was seen on a good day at the feet of Jesus. Now here's probably perhaps the worst day of her life. Her brother is dead. Jesus, who they wanted to come and help, didn't show up in their time frame. Yet it still tells us she, when she heard he was there, she ran and fell at his feet. So on her worst day, she's still at the feet of Jesus.
That's interesting. Did he touch on Martha? Because she didn't leave the house on that day till Jesus got there.
Yeah, he touched on both. He said, it's interesting. We'll find ourselves somewhere between Martha and Mary and the way they responded to the tragedy and the way they responded to Jesus. He says, either or isn't right or wrong.
Right.
But he said, the beautiful thing in this picture is how Jesus catered to each one of them.
Right.
He said, he spoke a little more theological to Martha. Maybe that's how her mind was wired. But to Mary, he didn't say as much. He only just cried with her. Each one, God caters the affections that the individual needs.
Well, because he's an intimate God. And intimacy only comes with communication. And communication can never be one way. Communication is two ways. So, obviously, there's a responsibility on our part.
Right. And you know what? Having faith would not remove certain emotions, certain natural emotions when you're going through something. Not to say that frustration won't set in or grief won't set in or pain won't set in. But faith actually is the anchor or hope that you see something more, because God says that he's not only sovereign, but he'll work all things out for your good and his glory. So faith is actually what, you know what? Faith and hope go together, as we know. Faith and hope are what had me seeing myself outside of prison walls. Seeing myself speaking in front of audiences before it came to be. But I saw it in my mind. I saw it in my heart. God would impress upon my heart. So I was able to be diligent and disciplined where I was in that tragedy, in that pressure, though faith and hope kept me moving forward.
Isn't there something in Hebrews 11 with the hall of faith, the superstars, let's just say? Some of them didn't see it on earth. They, you know, they were killed or persecuted, but it says that they had the hope of the thereafter. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, that's the definition of hope. They just kept moving regardless of what it looked like. Even the ones that were slaughtered or cut in half or hung.
Used as fire posts for Nero's parties.
But they were no less faithful than the ones that had great ends.
Yeah, so that's...
So there's a lot of Bible stories that testify to how faith looks. And, you know, majority of the time, faith is obedience. You know, what pushed Joseph forward in his life as a young man, being betrayed, being sold into slavery by the people that he loved and he thought loved him, finding himself in a pit, finding himself once again almost set up by the Potiphar, his wife.
Falsely accused.
Constantly, but he had to be faithful. What was he faithful to?
To his God.
To the God he believed in, the God that he learned about growing up. So at every step, when things looked bad, he still, inside of himself, must have said, I know my God is doing this for a reason.
So for those listeners out there that are facing great disappointments, the message today is, you know, where are you in your faith? What is your relationship like to God? And probably the most important question is, do you have a relationship with God? You know, with the work that we do through the Be Still Foundation, particularly through ministry for prisoners, for families of prisoners, a lot of times I'll be on the phone talking with people and they're telling me their problems and they're heavy. Believe me, they make your heart cry. But I'll ask them, what is your faith? What is your faith like? Well, and if they don't have that foundation or belief that God is in charge and in control, it's very hard to provide peace, comfort, encouragement.
Sure.
So
I call them, and this might be harsh, but you can't tell me anything. I dealt with people for 4.5 years on a 24/7 basis. People would tell you their problems every day. You would tell them the solution. You would tell them where to turn. You would teach them how to pray. But they would continually come to you with these same issues, and they were unwilling. They would spend more energy and emotion talking about it and how bad things are than putting that same type of tenacity and passion and redirecting it and giving it up to God and seeing how he does it. You're already trying everything else. These guys were exhausting the system. They'd write letters to lawyers and judges, and they'd write the president, and they would expend all their energy. Then I'd say, hey, did you ever try praying about it? And I was seeing things move in my life, Mom, without worrying about a single thing because God had everything under control. That was my faith. And you could probably attest to this. The attitude of my faith while I was away was, God's got this.
Oh, absolutely.
And it didn't look like it. I'm still locked up. I'm still in grave clothes. But things started to move in the atmosphere. So, you know, hopefully if you're in that position and you're constantly going over your situation with people and your thoughts, yet you have not yet turned it over to God, you know, I was calling those people, Mom, that's where I was going, detractors. They detract as opposed to attract or add. And they're hard people to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people out there that don't have faith or are on the fence or are non-believing need to see people who are going through the things they went through yet have done so successfully. They've struggled through some type of loss or some type of hardship, yet they did it in such a way that it was pleasing to God, and the person that now goes through it says, how did they do it? How are they able to stay afloat when I'm drowning? And that is kind of the, that's the attraction.
Right, and that's so important because it kind of goes back to us actually living the Bible that we say we believe. And there's just a lot of pain and there's a lot of hurt out there, and that's what this show's about. We're hoping to infuse in you or plant in you these seeds that God is real. And today might be the day where you just listen in and you, the show ends and you stop and take a moment and talk to a personal God. As Matt used that scripture, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a given. So draw near to God through Jesus Christ, his son, and expect that God will speak through your heart. And then if you have a Bible, open that Bible
up. But you have to be obedient. You know, I'm going to stress that word today because I believe back in the day when they didn't have the text that we have, you know, up into Moses, right in the first five books, the book of the law, and then the prophets coming along and writing their take and what the Holy Spirit laid upon them, and they don't know what they're doing. I mean, the Bible didn't come together until all that time later. And you're talking about after Jesus's life, the gospel writers didn't even start writing until 20 years after. So now we have the entire collection. We believe it's the inspired, breathed word of God. And now it requires us to be obedient. You want God to move in your life, yet you're not attending fellowship. You're not going to church. You're not reading his word. You're not spending time being obedient to his will. Well, it doesn't matter how good it looks on the surface. You lack faith.
Yeah, and they might even be able to recite scripture. But for people that are on that track, the life becomes like the hamster on the treadmill. And you almost want to say, how's it working for you? Because the same dilemmas continually happen. The same faltering, the same fear enters their life. And so, yeah, I mean, that's an important obedience. And the Lord expects that from us.
Not only expects us from us, that's how you move. Without faith, it is impossible. That word impossible means it's not happening to please him.
I like that.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is what? He is. He is what? He is what you need him to be.
I like that. And I that actually he is a never thought of that before.
A rewarder.
And it's my life first.
Of those who diligently seek him.
Amen to that.
The pursuit of God. He's already pursued us. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much further could he have went by becoming a man, subjecting himself to everything we have ever felt or will feel, then laying down his life to redeem it all and knowing exactly what it feels like. That's why Hebrews also says that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a perfect high priest that we can go to, we can run to, we can cling to, who then takes all of that and goes to his Father on our behalf. That's obedience. Which way do you run in affliction? You run somewhere. You either run away. You run away in your emotions. You run to other people. You run away from God. Or you run to him. I mean, there's choices that are being made every day that require faith. The faith that is kind of the most understood definition of faith. It takes faith to get in an elevator. You don't know that the pulley system's going to work. Yet you willingly step in and push floor 7. Trusting that it's going to take you there. You willingly, faithfully, will plop yourself down, all your body weight, onto a chair that has four legs, trusting that the manufacturer of the chair is going to come through with the built, and it's going to hold you. We don't think about that. We just plop down. We get in vehicles, and we drive 70 miles per hour on the parkway, trusting that the manufacturer had made the brakes work exactly as they should. We don't think that way. We just do it. Yet with God, who's perfect, who loves us more than we can even understand, who has everything under control, he is the manufacturer of all that is good, we don't trust him.
Yeah, but I totally love all those examples. But what do you say, being human, and things start going wrong in your life, things, you know, that bother you emotionally, something happens, you get upended. We're not saying the human response might be what? to have fear initially.
Sure.
To have doubt. So what's the fine line between what happens when things hit us and the road to faith?
Well, I think regardless of how it hits you or how hard it hits you, trusting that God's character is good no matter what. God is still good even when the outcome isn't.
That's
I think
good.
I said that when
That's huge.
When John passed away, processing that, obviously in my isolation, saying that wasn't a good result for us as a family, but it was still good because God allowed it. So it is good regardless of what it looks like because God has allowed it. And then people come, you know, I used to deal with all types of bigots, skeptics, critics, and they would try to argue, okay, Matt, so what's so good about the genocide over in Africa? Little kids dying. What's so good about that? And you would kind of try to explain to them, no matter what's going on in the world, God has allowed it for a reason. And you don't know how far that impact is going or that effect or that tragedy. You don't know how many people are responding to that tragedy that needed to see the light of God in that darkness that are now turning their life over to Him. You can't answer that. And then, well, I don't believe there's a God, Matt, because over in – they would always use Africa. I'm sorry, Africa. If you're from Africa, you got always the stories
and
that
involve –
And are
you kidding? There's such revival going on in Africa. We in the United States should look to Africa.
Well, sure. But, you know, that, what about the little African who doesn't know any better? You know, there can't be a good God out there. He's not looking out for him. I said, hey, is that really your concern? Is that little African boy halfway across the world, is that really on your heart? Is that really bothering you? Then go pray about it. Or do something about it. But don't blame God because you don't have an explanation around that scenario. But these were just ways of people kind of throwing things out to be distracting and defense mechanisms because I don't really want God to get too close to me. And then once he does, I have to be accountable to me. The Bible says it. Men loved darkness rather than light. So it's not that we don't understand God. That's our excuse. Well, I don't understand his word. It's too complicated. And we throw all this stuff out there. But the real reason is the Bible says, no, we just love darkness and sin more than we love God. Which should actually put God's love into perspective that, wow, he still loves me even though I love darkness over him. Yes, he still loves you regardless of you. And that kind of should change your perspective and your hope of there is a God out there that was so concerned about you that he was willing to die for you. So why would he give up on you now even though things seem like they're spinning off the axis? He already went to great lengths, went to hell and back, just to say, I do care about you. And now things are a little bit crazy in your life. Trust and know that. Trust me that he's allowed this for some reason. And you just have to go with it. And you'll see it in hindsight a lot of times. And you'll see it as you kind of focus in on his character, who always finds a way of showing himself. But once again, it comes back down to obedience. Where do you start in that? You got to start by either surrounding yourself with people of faith and following their instructions, people that have been through it, following their lead. Don't just go there to talk or vent. Maybe plug into a local church, see what the minister of God or the pastor is saying, and it might be something you needed to hear, and you'll never hear it if you don't go. You'll never hear what God has to say if you don't go to the places where he's speaking. So faith is obedience. Obviously, we always use Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 as the definition of faith. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The substance is the essence. Faith is the essence of things hoped for. It's like you start to see things move in your life. Even you start to move when you have hope. And it says it's the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? That means conviction. You start to feel it on the inside. You might not see it, but you feel it on the inside. You know, I felt such peace and such security, though I was locked up. What was that? It wasn't me. I wanted to get out. I wanted to jump out of that place. I wanted to run out of that place. But because I trusted that God had a purpose, something on the inside of me, his spirit, began to give me conviction. And that was the evidence enough that, you know what? God is here. And because he's here, I'm here. And because I'm here and he's here, I'm free while I'm here. And I used to watch that gate swing and I waited. And I waited till the day they said you can go home. Until that day, I submitted and surrendered to God's will for my life. And I don't know about you, and this isn't me talking me up because I am nothing, but all you have to do is go to the www.themattmayerstory.com, and that is the testimony that God cares about all of us. Because you know what, Mom? To world standards, I should have been thrown away. I should have been never given a chance to be working at a church in Ocean City that is thriving. I should never be speaking in front of thousands and thousands of students a year, sharing my story. I shouldn't be writing for a newspaper where I just went into Dad's work today, and I don't know who it was, but he came out and says, I just want to let you know, I read your article every month. I look forward to it. I reread it every time because there's so much in it. I just want to tell you to keep up the good work.
Wow. Well, I can say as a mom, I've seen it, and your testimony and your obedience and your faithfulness has strengthened so many people in our own family, including me. So it's awesome to see that our God is real and he's alive, and that faith is the substance of where our hope lies.
And if you don't have faith today and you're listening in, I don't want to ever sugarcoat anything. I'm not saying that because you're a certain mindset, you're headstrong. In fact, usually the headstrong individual will get in the way of God because he wants us to remove any thought process that elevates us and decreases him. So the idea is if you don't have faith today, you're struggling with it, I challenge you to pray for it because God will give you – he even gives the man faith. He gave Billy Graham the faith that Billy Graham needed. So it was never about Billy Graham having great faith. It was God giving him great faith to fulfill the purpose of Billy Graham because he knew that no matter what he put on that man's plate, he would always put the glory back to him. That's why he gave him that faith. He was mature enough to handle it. So pray for faith. Hopefully we said something today that would spark some type of revival in your soul. Hopefully you can go back to a church, back to a study group, get back into the Word. It's calling to you. Hopefully this was your devotional time and you can share it with somebody that you know needs to hear a message like this. We will continue in the next episode with the topic of faith, and we'll hopefully bring to you a little bit more Bible stories, biblical stories that can be applied practically in your life. We like to close all shows reminding you that the clearest testimony you have isn't the one you share for people to hear. It's the one you live for people to see. And as always, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. God says that. Be still and know that he is God. We thank you.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. In my lungs and spared me from Satan, and now that I love even my loved ones they hate, waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face, but I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying cause her babies are dying, and the father in jail with the son by his side. But our father, he loves us unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved 316 on the cross. I know where you're going if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. Guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah.
Don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ. I've been there.